Hello and welcome to A Responsible Day for the ninth day of Adar Sheni. Today we're going to see it's printed in Shut Igrot Moshe Yoredeya, in the Yoredeya section, in the third time of Moshe Feinstein approaches Yoredeya issues in his Igrot Moshe, Simon Mem Gimel, response number 43. And then in that response number 43, he includes two responses he had written. He does the two responses part for us about the prohibition of having conferences with Catholics. And the second of those is dated the 9th of Adar Sheni of Tafshin Chav Zayin in 1967. So the first one is also from 1967, from Yutet of Adar Rishon. So it's from the 19th day of the first Adar, and then, like, 3 weeks later is the second one. And the issue was that in 1967, so I don't remember exactly the names of it, but the Pope at the time, John Paul XXIII, I think, had was in favor of having meetings and trying to be friendlier to other religions. So they were called ecumenical councils and things like that. So in the first responsum, he was approached by who at the time was a young man, Rabbi Bernard Lander, Dov Ber Lander is who he refers to him, and he wants to know, and he had this Rabbi Lander, Rabbi Bernard Lander, who later on founded Touro College and went on to be well known for that, had committed to come to a gathering that they were having. The gatherings were, so the way that Rav Moshe Feinstein phrases it is, it's about matters of how the faiths can work better together and be friendlier to each other. And it was scheduled for 4 days later. The response was for the 19th of Adar of 1967, and scheduled for the 23rd of Adar Rishon, with Catholics and Protestants and Jews, and the Jews will be from the Synagogue Council. Synagogue Council around that time, but other times also, was a very became a controversial body, because it was about rabbis from the Orthodox, Conservative, and Reform movements getting together to do various things with each other. And then I think the discussions around the Synagogue Council were, I think, the genesis to Rabbi Soloveitchik's article, Confrontation, about how we do and don't deal with those from other strands of Judaism. So, but there were going to be rabbis from the RCA, from the Rabbinical Council of America, who were thinking about going to this ecumenical meeting. And this Rabbi Lander was sure that he wasn't going to speak about religious issues. Some of the conference was going to be about places of commonality and not commonality within the religious experiences, I think, of the various religions. But that wasn't what he was going to talk about. He was going to be there, and he was supposed to address the council. But he wasn't going to say anything about religious issues. He was going to speak about public current affairs, you know, current events. We're going to talk about how they can deal with those issues. Nonetheless, Rav Moshe Feinstein says, in his mind, so Moshe Feinstein is a 72-year-old man. He's in the full strength of his life. So these are his well-considered views. He says, "Pashut ubaruru sheiser chamor," that it's a complete prohibition of abizrayhu de avodazara. So let's explain the concept of abizrayhu de avodazara. Avodazara is one of the three sins, one of the three violations of the Torah, for which one is required to let oneself be killed rather than committed. So the other two are murder and various of the sexual prohibitions. So Avodah Zarah, which at its easiest version of Avodah Zarah, there's a statue there which people decide has either represents a power or is a power, and people bow down to it. You're not allowed to bow to it. Bowing down to it is a capital crime. It's a capital crime, and if somebody wants to coerce a Jew to do such a thing, that Jew has to let themselves be killed. That's the easiest version of it, but that kind of Avodah Zarah is relatively rare. It's not out there, but it's relatively rare today. The problem is that for thousands of years, I think, at least hundreds of years, Jews have assumed that Catholicism and some versions of Protestantism are Avodah Zarah. Poskim, I don't mean Jews, Poskim, but the well-accepted halakhic tradition is that any serious discussion of the Trinity, of believing that whatever their version is of what they think about, you know, the three figures they name as being part of what they call the Godhead, which they will say is no, really unified or whatever, halakha has assumed that unless it's completely symbolic and it doesn't mean anything. I think there are versions of Protestantism that take the Trinity so unseriously that it might not be Avodah Zarah anymore, but there are certainly still versions of Protestantism and very much Catholicism takes the Trinity seriously. That's Avodah Zarah. problem with Avodah Zarah and the other two sins is that it's not only Avodah Zarah itself that's a problem for Yeharik Ve'Yavor. It's not only the sin itself, it's also Abizra. So Abizra means those things that are connected to the sin, that lead up to the sin. And the definition of that is very complicated. There are Gemaras that talk about Lashon Hara, embarrassing somebody in public as being an Abizrahu of murder. So that becomes a very complicated discussion, but not ours at all. But Rav Moshe Feinstein here is saying that it's working with them is an Abizrahu of Avodah Zarah. It's a connected act similar to or partially related to Avodah Zarah. And then he says, Asher Pashta Magefa Atab Harbe Mekamot. There's a plague in a lot of places based on the Pope's new initiative. So the Pope's new initiative was, and this is, I think, stemming from the Second Vatican Council, which was in like 64, the Pope's approach was, we've been fighting these other religions for thousands of years, for hundreds of years, over 1,000 years with both of them, right? So we've been fighting them and it's not working well. We shouldn't do that. Let's be friendlier to them. And here's where Moshe finds it says something that may be true and may not be. It's not clear. You have to figure it out whether it's true, but creates a challenge. She says, "Asher kol kavanatohu la'avir et kol ha'yehudim me'emunatam ha'tehora ve'hakedosha v'shiklut amunatrim." And he says the real motive by the Pope is to bring Jews away from Judaism, to have them give up their faith and accept the Catholic faith. So one is a question of fact. Was that in fact the motivation of the Pope in question, which I think was John the 23rd. So that's the first is a question of fact. Did John the 23rd come to say to himself, you know what, we live in a... One possibility is, as Moshe Feinstein is describing to him, he said to himself, it's not working. We want the whole world to convert to Catholicism, or at least Christianity. It's not working. Let's try this approach. If that's true, that's one challenge. And then Rav Moshe Feinstein moves off there, and then we could read his the rest of his letter and still think about it and how we would react to it, but it would be one situation. But I think some people would say, why are you being so suspicious? Certainly John 23 didn't say that out loud. He said, we've been treating them badly all this time, and they really are monotheistic religions. Let's say he said, I don't know exactly what he said, but let's say that's what he said out loud. So Rav Moshe Feinstein says, whatever he says out loud doesn't matter, that's not what he means. Okay, but let's say he did think that, then you'd still have to think about that question. Because other claims Rav Moshe Feinstein is going to make are going to be relevant regardless of what the underlying motive is. But his assumption is that the real motive is to bring Jews closer to Catholicism so they can eventually convert Jews to Catholicism. And he says because it's easier in this way to convert Jews to what they want, as opposed to the hatred and murder way that had happened in other times in Jewish and Catholic history. And because of that, because they're really looking to bring us in, Rav Moshe Feinstein says you can't really talk to them in an official way about anything. And getting it all close with them is an Isser Chamor D'Krovit L'Avodah Zarah. It's getting close to an Avodah Zarah. That's a question that I think people don't always pay attention to. And he says, and then he says, and the Jews who encourage involvement in this ecumenical council, he thinks have some status. He's not saying it's a capital status, not the full status, but it's a mesitu mediach of luring other Jews to Avodah Zarah. So that's such I'm not questioning him. I want to lay out what he's saying, because I think people don't realize that what he's saying is that when people get friendly with each other, that friendship itself leads to absorption of ideas and absorption of values, even if that's not the frontal assault of what goes on. And that, and therefore, if the person on the other side is an Ovid of Avodah Zarah, or is a formal body of Avodah Zarah, as the Catholic Church is in technical halachic terms assumed to be by halacha, so then allowing ourselves to get close to them, that would especially be true if in secret they're doing it to bring us close, right? There's all these cults, for example. No, I'm not saying Catholicism was a cult, I'm just putting out there are all these cults that are very friendly to the people they want to recruit because they want to bring them in. And then once they got them in, they're in, and then they bring them in and they do whatever they do. So whatever, right? So friendship is a tool sometimes. So if the Pope is saying, I want to do this because it's going to bring them closer, it's really a nefarious plot to bring Jews unwittingly, unrealizingly to the point that they convert. That's an issue. And I would point out that even if we were to decide that Rav Moshe got John the 23rd wrong, the same question is still an issue, meaning I think there are plenty of situations, leaving Catholicism aside, but plenty of situations where Jews, Orthodox Jews, meet nice non-Jews, and let's leave aside the Devoto Zara question, and they just strike up a friendship, and the non-Jew has no interest in converting the Jew to anything, and yet the Jew absorbs values and ideas and sometimes practices from the non-Jew and sometimes intermarries, right? So all of that happens. So I'm much finding saying at the institutional level where religions are going to meet, it's a problem. He thinks it's especially a problem because he thinks the Pope has motives of converting the Jews. And I think that he thought it was a problem anyway because it brings them closer. And then he points out, even if Rabbi Lander and the Orthodox rabbis who go with him are going to be very careful and they're not going to flatter the priests, the cardinals, the bishops that they're meeting, and they're not going to say anything positive about their religion because it's a Avodah Zarah. That's one of the challenges, right? Many years ago, I heard a paper from Professor David Berger, Rabbi Dr. Professor David Berger, a very important paper about the tradition in Judaism, in Halacha, of treating Catholicism for all that it's an Avodah Zarah, is treating it as an Avodah Zarah in a monotheistic mode, and how that brought about certain kulot, certain leniencies in how we treat it. Right? Because for all that it qualifies as Avodah Zarah in halakhic terms, it thinks of itself as being monotheistic, and it's striving for monotheism, and that has ramifications. But for all that it has ramifications, it's also, at the same time, Avodah Zarah, halakhically. So if you come in and you say, oh, you have such a great religion, and the truth is, and this is not part of the tshuva, this is me talking for a second, if you want to talk to me about it, it's grothst@gmail.com. But the truth is, in many ways today, leaving aside the Avodah Zarah issue, Catholics come out very similarly on practical issues that face the United States of America. They come out in many ways very similar positions to what Jews come out to. So if somebody were to say, let's have a council to work together on those public relations issues, on those public affairs issues, right? So there's a law that's going to say that you, whatever it is, that if you're a synagogue or a church and you're going to hire an employee, you have to accept them completely as they are, even if they're doing something which is a complete violation of your religion, nonetheless, you have to take them into your church or synagogue office. You have to give them the job if they want the job. If you don't have any, you know, if they are the ones who deserve the job, and you can't discriminate against them. So that would be a common cause for Jews and Catholics to share. Now, it might be in confrontation that when it comes to klape chutz, I think it was only Jews that Soloveitchik related to, but that becomes an interesting question. So Moshe Feinstein here is saying the problem with these councils is you come to say that this is good and this is valuable and this is well done. And if they don't say it, Rabbi Lander and his colleagues, the conservative and reform rabbis will say it, who Rav Moshe Feinstein here, and it's worth noting the language because he's not an extreme person, Rav Moshe Feinstein in general. So when he does become extreme, it should catch our attention. He says, rabbis, hamesitim umedichim mereform of a conservative. And the rabbis who are looking to lure Jews away from what they're supposed to do, from the conservative and the reform. So Rav Moshe Feinstein is painting a picture. He sees a world in which, and this is 67, when Orthodoxy was not in any way triumphant, Orthodox Judaism was in any way triumphant among American Jewry. He says, you're going to join reform and conservative rabbis. You're going to say nice things to them, maybe. And they're going to say things to the Catholics and to the Protestants about what a great religion it is, and how we all share so much, and we are all the bearers of the Abrahamic tradition. Who knows what they could say, but I would think they would say things like that. And Rav Moshe Feinstein has a problem with it, because he says, "Yil midu mizeh harbe anashim leleipli drasharam misioner v'chavzav," and then people will just say, "So it's okay to go to missionary events, to go to hear a Catholic." Can you go to a Catholic church if a friend is being honored with a special mass? So if you see, that's not the example in the Tshuva, I just made that up myself, but this is, I think, along the lines of what he's thinking about. If you see the rabbis go to an ecumenical council, and when they're at the ecumenical council, they say, and we all share so much, we share such tradition, blah, 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 which all of it may be true, then the random rank and file Jew will say, well, then what's so bad if I go to a wedding or an honorary mass in honor of this guy? I'm just going to show my thing there, and it's not so terrible. That's why Rav Moshe Feinstein says we can't participate at all. We can't participate at all because the Avodah Zarah, we can't cooperate with him in those terms. Now, he doesn't get into it here because it's not his topic, but I think it's true that even with complete, full of the Avodah Zarah. There are ways that we find ways to cooperate with them. He's not saying you can't cooperate with them. He's saying as a religious meeting of religious leaders. So if, you know, the lay leader of Agudas Yisrael or of the OU were going to meet with his counterpart in the Catholic Church and they found political ways to work together, it could be that Rav Shapira would have had no problem with that because that has no religious element to it. I'm pretty sure that's what he means. He means here the fact that it has a religious element to it and it's the religious leaders getting together, even if they don't discuss religious issues, they only focus on practical issues, he thinks that's the problem. I think that's me extrapolating, but it's my guess, just because the history of halacha is the Jews found ways to cooperate with complete and total Ovdei Avodah Zarah, although not in any ways that conceded anything to their idolatry as if it had any value. And that, I think, is what Moshe Feinstein is focusing on. And therefore, he says, not only shouldn't you go, right? Not only you're not allowed to go, you shouldn't send a letter with your remarks. You know how sometimes at these conferences, somebody will say, well, last minute things mean I couldn't, but he read out my letter of the things that I said, even though, again, the things he was planning on saying had no religious content. He was going to give some very parva welcome about having them do with religious issues. Nonetheless, Rav Moshe Feinstein says you can't do it because anything you do here is to help them in their nefarious motives. And then they want to make other such conferences. He says, I've heard they want to do it in Boston, they want to do it in Rome. He says, anybody who joins in these things is considered to be, he's very straight out about this, is considered to be trying to lure Jews away from Judaism and helping all those missionaries who did not succeed, all the Catholic missionaries, all the years didn't succeed, you're going to help them even more because by virtue, and I think that on this element of it, I think he's, not that he needs me to agree with him, but I think he's spot on in terms of recognizing how things impact others. He's saying the picture of it is rabbis think it's okay to sit down and talk with Catholic priests and cardinals and bishops, and they're talking about religious issues, and they're getting together, and they're getting along, and it's not such a distance between us and them. From there, the next place you go is, not the next place, but down the road, Jews say, okay, so it's okay to hang out with them. It's okay to befriend them, and it's not a danger. Meaning, it's one thing if I say, I met a nice Ovdei Avodah Zarah, right? I think, for example, I think Hinduism is probably Avodah Zarah, I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure that Buddhism, not American Buddhism, because Americans, when they wanted to be Buddhists, take out all the Buddhism out of Buddhism. But like those religions, those Eastern religions, many of them Avodah Zarah, whichever ones in particular. So let's say I meet a nice person who is an adherent of that Avodah Zarah. So it's supposed to be in halacha that every single interaction that I have with that person, as my me talking, but I'm pretty sure this is underlying everything Rav Moshe Feinstein's thing. So I really think I'm elaborating and explaining what he's saying, not throwing myself in there. And if I'm not, I apologize. But every interaction I have with that Avodah Zarah, that Ovdei Avodah Zarah, even though it's supposed to be cordial, Chazal are very clear about that, I have to always have it in mind, but I'm dealing with an Ovdei Avodah Zarah here. And that's supposed to horrify me, even as he's a nice person or she's a nice person, even as I find ways to cooperate with them and to get along with them and to take care of their ill and to do all sorts of things to try to make sure the world is as peaceful a place as possible. I'm also supposed to always remember that that this person is Ovdei Avodah Zarah. So here, if you're going to have the religious leaders of these groups get together cordially as religious leaders and in a religious context, that's going to make such an impression on rank and file Jews about what it means, about how close we are to them, that it's going to be a problem. Chas v'shalom, these rabbani who don't know what they're doing, because they don't understand the ramifications of what they're doing, they're going to do more than the missionaries ever did. And then he says, the halacha is, and this is in the context of you ever going to bring a mesid, an actual person who actually tried to lure other people to Avodah Zarah, you're going to bring them to court, and you're going to punish them for it. So there, the halacha is, we are not towing for them. We don't try to find ways to say that they should be acquitted. If they bring up issues that halacha we have to notice such that might acquit them, then we deal with them. It's not that we just ignore the law in their cases. But the court doesn't, as it usually does for most defendants, look for ways to get them off. His point being, so here too, you're going to say, well, these rabbis don't know what they're doing. It's not enough. That's not a defense because we are not towing for them. We don't find for them. Oh, they didn't understand what they were doing, so therefore it's okay. And therefore, he says to Rabbi Lander, the fact that he's going to break a promise, right? He said he'd come. The fact that he's going to break a commitment to come and to speak doesn't matter. So I don't know the genesis of how this happened. I guess it seems like Rabbi Lander thought it was clearly okay. And then something happened. Either somebody said something to him or he realized. And he said, oh no, is it okay? And he calls or writes for a motion. Rav Moshe answers him immediately and says, absolutely not okay. And you have to break your commitment, even though that's bad. Nonetheless, you can't go. You just can't go. few months later, on the 9th of Adar Sheni, the 9th day of the 2nd Adar in Tavshin Chav Zayin 1967, he writes to the man that Jews from my walk of life call the Rav, Rabbi Yosef Dov Soloveitchik, who was the Rav of Boston. He was officially, actually, I think he was the Rav of the Chevra Shas of Boston, but he was one of, if not the leading, and I'm pretty sure it was by then the leading rabbi of Boston. He was actually, in some way, I think, a cousin, a first or second cousin of Moshe Feinstein, but they weren't desperately close in those terms, you know. But he writes to the Rav, and he says, you know, some young rabbis, this is what Moshe Feinstein says, some young rabbis have been caught up in the initiative, the Vatican initiative of the Ecumenical Council, and they want to get involved in these meetings. And Moshe Feinstein repeats his assumption that really the point is to convert Jews to Catholicism and to capture them into Catholicism. And the cardinals and the bishops who are involved have been told to make a friendship, and by the ways of friendship, to bring them in eventually. That's what he understands it. So that's a possibility. It's certainly a possibility. There's certainly in Jewish circles too, people will say the first step of getting close to somebody and bringing them around to religion is to get friendly with them. So it may be true that that works, but the fact that it works is a bit of a problem, because it means that it's being based on friendship rather than any reality and any truth to the underlying issues at hand. But, so they're going to create, the idea is to create committees in every place. And these committees would have meetings, and they would have conventions. And these conventions, I think the idea was they were going to find what binds us together, what links us, what unites us, and we could focus on that element of it. And it's worked so well that some rabbis are telling themselves, says Rav Moshe Feinstein, that it's okay. He's writing this to the Rav, to Rabbi Soloveitchik. He says that some rabbis are telling them it's okay, that as long as they don't speak about faith issues, they speak about social issues, it's okay. Now, I remember I said before that I thought that there has to be a way, it seems to me there has to be a way to cooperate on those kinds of issues, just because Jews have always cooperated with over the Avodah Zarah. And I think what is sticking Rav Moshe Feinstein's craw is that the religious leaders themselves. It's not, you know, second-level bureaucrats who are going to say, yes, we can combine on this because this, and we'll be on a list of, you know, this initiative is supported by the Catholic Church, it's supported by the Jews, it's supported by this and this, and it has to do with American politics. So I feel like he must have been, but he's saying for rabbis and bishops and priests to get together to discuss those issues, that's a big problem. First off, he says it's not ever going to be completely devoid of religion, because for the priests, it's all part of one view of the world. Now, I have to say, I would hope for the rabbis it was true also, but I think part of the point that Rosh Feinstein is saying that for them, and I would think for us as well, it's not like my thoughts about how to deal with the poor, with welfare, with immigrants, with whatever the topics of the day were. It's not like, you know, back then with whether people were living together before marriage. It's not like those issues, which are in some sense social issues and in some sense political issues, and that's why you want to address it in the public realm, in the public marketplace of ideas. But for the priests themselves, it's a religious issue. And for the rabbis, it's also a religious issue. So the fact that it's a religious issue, because they're religious people and they have incorporated all of their approach to life into their religious worldview, which is in some sense a good thing for a religious person to do, makes it worse. Because then it means, even if we seem to be talking about completely technical social issues, right, should this neighborhood get these zoning rights, it's going to all come back to our religiosity, and therefore really having a discussion about religion. And Rav Moshe Feinstein is firmly opposed to having a discussion about religion with these people who are Ovdei Avodah Zarah, who, in at least some sense, are Ovdei Avodah Zarah. And he says, you already see it in the newspapers. Now, he assumes that this is what the Pope originally meant as well, but you see it in the newspaper, because the newspapers are celebrating. Let's remember, newspaper people very often aren't all that religious. And newspaper people very often, I see this in our times with some Jewish newspapers, they just want everybody to get along. So it's nice to get along, but there are times when it's impossible to get along. So they get excited. The newspapers, Rav Moshe Feinstein is saying, it's if we've all come to agree on what religion should be about. We've all come to agree on what it means to be a human being, and we can pray together, and isn't that great? So it's not so great if we think they're Ovdei Avodah Zarah, right? And that's what Rav Moshe Feinstein is saying. And he says in front of the young rabbis, he says this to, he's writing to the Rav now, but he's clearly talking about Rabbi Lander from 3 weeks before. I said several months, I think that was a mistake. From 3 weeks before, from the 19th of Adar. He said, one of the young rabbis already asked me, who was sent by the RCA to speak at a convention, and I told him in New York, and I told him you can't do it. And this Rabbi Lander listened to him, and he didn't go. And he refrained from going. So now there's one coming up in Boston, and it's going to be even bigger than the one in New York was going to be. And I'm writing to you to, first of all, to prevent the Catholics from winning, right? They're doing this to achieve something, and we don't want them to achieve what they can, what they're looking for, and to save the Jewish people. He says, "Mishmad chas v'shalom." So the shmad that he's talking about, I think it can't be said enough. The shmad he's talking about, because I don't know that we've so much escaped that shmad. The shmad he's talking about is for Jews to remember and to understand that with all the things we share with the Catholics in terms of values and perspectives on the world, and there are many such things, they're of the avodah zara, and that to link to care too much to them without keeping in mind, however much of that you have to keep in mind. So let's say Professor Berger, Dr. Berger is right, Rabbi Dr. Berger, I always know him as Professor Berger, is right, then it might be that there are ways in which the fact that they're also monotheists, or they try to be monotheists, alleviates or mitigates some of what we have to do with them. Fully possible. To the extent that's true, then that'll be true. But that's not what Moshe Feinstein is focusing on. What he's focusing on, you have to remember, you have to keep in mind, you have to treat them in that way. And if we don't do it, then regular Jews won't do it, and it'll end up thinking it's not so bad. So therefore, he wants the Rav to sign on to a letter that he's written that it's completely usur, and at the end of this responsum has the nusach. And the nusach is, we who have undersigned are saying it's completely prohibited to be involved in this, to make any kind of connection between rabbis and priests. That's the way they say it. So if you said more, I said before, I would have suspected that if it was completely political and people involved were lay people, he would have less of a problem with it, because then it's clearly not about religion. It's about it being about politics and about getting laws passed, stuff like that, that he would have much less of a problem with it. He says you can't have conventions, you can't have meetings, and all those things. So that's the letter he wants Rabbi Soloveitchik to sign, and he says, I've appended it, and I'm hoping you'll sign on to it. And if the two of us sign, he says, I'm hoping it'll stop all the rabbis from going in, and then we'll have avoided this ecumenicism, which is a big problem. Because this ecumenicism, if you allow me to interpolate one more time, I think interpolate's the right word there. If you allow me to interrupt and put my own two cents in one more time, I think what's so bothersome to Moshe Feinstein about ecumenicism comes up today as well. It's very similar to when I was growing up, there was something called pluralism. And people thought that pluralism meant that it's all just as good. Meaning it's one thing to say, when I look around on the political scene of America today, I'm just trying to say what Moshe Feinstein said. It's one thing to say, turns out that on all sorts of issues, marital issues are a good set of issues, but there are lots of issues, and lots of issues that are facing the American public today, the Orthodox Jewish world ends up at very similar policy conclusions to what the Catholic Church ends up on. It's one thing to notice that fact. But to allow that to slip over into saying, so see, the religions are very close to each other, that's a deep problem that Moshe Feinstein is bothered by, because it's Avodah Zarah. So the fact that Avodah Zarah has become very close to us in a lot of its conclusions doesn't change the fact that it's Avodah Zarah. I have to say there are things that Buddhists, and I think that Buddhism, like I said before, is probably an Avodah Zarah, that they say about how to live one's life that are very Jewish as well in a lot of ways. And you can't let, and that, what he's bothered by is you can't let that slide over into losing sight of the fact there of the Avodah Zarah and rabbis and this becoming ecumenical, then it makes us all think it's all kind of the same. Meaning, if you think about it, within Orthodoxy, if I'm living a life where I'm Orthodox in X way, let's say I'm modern Orthodox, let's say, and somebody else comes along and says, well, I want to become more right-wing. So whatever my feelings about it are, it would be important always to remember they're all part of the same religion, right? And it's true of, let's say, the various groups of Chassidut. So I don't know that we all always realize that. And right now, if a Belzer Chassid decided to become a Lubavitcher Chassid or a Satmar Chassid, and whatever, there are plenty of times when you say, oh, that's terrible, you'd be so upset. So that's because our ecumenicism doesn't extend even that far. But Moshe Feinstein is complaining, in case you forgot, you thought I forgot that this was a response for Moshe Feinstein that we were discussing. Moshe Feinstein is worried about the fact that this ecumenicism is going to go so far that people will think that Catholicism is just fine. And therefore, he's hoping that Moshe, that Rav Soloveitchik will sign on. And he says, and if you want to send me, I think this is so interesting. He says, "Im hevav gimel," which I think means like Hodrat Gedulato, if you know, your honor. Rotzeh lichtov b'chtav atzmo, if you prefer to write a different version of this letter, v'yichtov li ha'atakat nuscho, and you want to send me your version, I can work on that. And I know. And then he says, and I know how terribly burdened you are these days, Hashem Yirachem. I'm pretty sure he's referring to that 1966-67 was this terrible year for Rabbi Soloveitchik. I think he lost his mother and his brother and his wife in 1 year. So it was a very, very hard year for the Rav. He says, I know you're having a hard year, and I think that Dr. Tanya Soloveitchik, his wife, had passed away really fairly recently. Yeah, she passed away in 1967. I'm pretty sure it was right around here. I think she had just passed away, maybe, or maybe she was still ill. I don't know exactly, but it was right around now. So he says, I know that you're very busy and you're very burdened. I'm very sorry about that. But this is Kavod Shamayim. This is the honor of heaven. And then these terrible things going on. So I need you to respond. Then he signs the letter. So those are two tshuvot on the same time. Rav Moshe Feinstein brings up these very issues of how we do and don't cooperate with those around us. And that's why it would be vitally important to know what we do and don't qualify as avodah zarah, what doesn't qualify, even at the most technical level, as idolatry or as worship of a power in a way that halakha doesn't allow, because then that will shape our ability to cooperate with them in various ways. And Moshe Feinstein here is very bothered by the pluralism, the ecumenicism, which can lead Jews to think that it's just okay to be involved with such movements and such groups and then, God forbid, maybe to go over and join them in all sorts of ways. And that is a responsive day for the ninth day of Adar Sheni. Have a great day.